This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the car. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy in the car, just like you? Right now, times are really tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to make your drive around Melbourne fun. So tell your siblings, your workmates, heck, even wind down your window and tell someone else stuck in the traffic to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Tess, and Catherine Dixon, Executive Director of the Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission. You were in last week too.
I know, I'm becoming a regular,
that's
I love
good.
It.
No, that's good, that's good. So welcome and good morning.
Thank you, thanks for having me.
We're interested in you. You know, there's a lot of the commission works in a lot of areas and studies a lot of issues and makes recommendations and obviously, you know, and hears, you know, concerns and complaints from people. One area that I know you've been doing some work on is hate speech.
That's right, Macca.
Define it for us, what it is, and tell us about the work that's going on.
Great. Well, the commission is responsible for the Racial and Religious Tolerance Act, and that's the current act in Victoria that protects people against hate crimes, hate speech and hate conduct if that speech and that conduct happens because of their race or religion. And I suppose the definition is really any public conduct that incites hatred of a person or groups of people because of their race or religion. As I said, it could be a crime, mm-hmm. But it could also be verbal abuse, but it could also be a whole range of other conduct, harassment, bullying, and just, I suppose, a whole range of non-criminal conduct as well, but it's all prejudice motivated.
Okay.
So, you know, flags, graffiti, flyers, online abuse.
Perhaps intended to offend or upset or...
That's right.
Directly, intentionally or even unintentionally?
Well, it depends on whether it's a criminal provision or a civil provision. But it is intended to cause emotional harm or physical harm, okay. Psychological harm. And the inquiry that's going on at the moment is a parliamentary inquiry.
This is a state parliamentary inquiry?
That's right. So it's a state parliamentary inquiry into whether our current vilification laws are effective and how they might be able to be improved. So the commission's been quite active in putting a submission in, okay. and we'll give evidence as well.
Catherine, we've just had a message from one of our listeners, the lovely 317, who's a regular listener, who says that in Parliament during the week, there was a federal minister who mocked people of Hindu faith in Parliament. Does that constitute as hate?
So hate speech can definitely occur where someone is demeaned and diminished because of their religion, and in this context, behaviour that, puts people of that faith makes them sort of diminished can constitute hate speech. I suppose the difficulty with our current laws, it's a very high threshold to meet the current test of vilification, which is essentially that your conduct inspires a third person to hate that, you know, that Hindus, yes. for example, or people of Muslim background. So it doesn't really matter how you might feel TASS or MACA. Yeah. It really matters whether someone else is inspired to hate.
Right.
So it's quite difficult to prove.
Right. So what has instigated this review then? Where does it come from?
Well, Fiona Patten put forward a bill that sought to make the law more effective, including to extend it to other groups, and in particular the LGBTIQ community, which the Commission certainly supports. And it was then referred off to a parliamentary inquiry for more research and submissions. And I think it's worth, I suppose, the listeners here will be really interested, I think, in the fact that this could be an opportunity to get better protection for the LGBTIQ community. People may remember the Human Rights Law Centre a while ago put out some really good research called End the Hate. And that work has been built upon by others as well. But there's a lot of good evidence to say that we don't have current protections for the LGBTIQ community when it comes to hate speech.
And so how do you balance this, Catherine? I mean, some will say, not me, but some will say what this is about, it's about reducing freedom of speech. And what they're, you know, saying is, and you know, a regular on the program, Tim Wilson would probably say that, you know, freedom of speech, you know, is so important. You must be able to say what you think.
I agree, and this is one of those great examples of where rights can compete against each other, and you have to try and work out how they can be balanced together, because obviously in our democracy, freedom of speech is critical, but so is protecting our inclusive and diverse society.
Yes.
So there's currently exceptions in the Racial and Religious Tolerance Act, which enables people, if they're acting reasonably and in good faith, to make comments that may be artistic in nature, academic, religious or scientific. As long as they're acting reasonably and in good faith, there's exceptions for them to be able to still have that right.
Can you give us an example of what that might look like?
Nothing's coming immediately to mind, but I'll keep pondering on that and get back to you.
Because how you assess it is acting reasonably and in good faith.
That's right.
So if the person making the comment thinks it's reasonable and they honestly believe it to be true, this is where it comes back from the other direction. Oh, well, what you're doing is you're going to stop their ability to espouse their beliefs. Now, if their beliefs are, you know, that the LGBTIQ community should be set on fire, well, that's obviously offensive and is hate speech.
And it may induce somebody to violence.
You know, an example. We've seen many examples of that sort of comment. It's a really difficult balance, isn't it, Catherine? Because, you know, we all want to be able to have opinions and express our views, and sometimes it will be offensive to other people, but it's where it actually causes harm or causes other people to do harm, isn't it? That's the crux of it.
That's right, exactly. And you see, we've seen this debate play out in relation to Section 18C of the Race Discrimination Act, and we're recommending at the Commission that we ought to, at the state level, have a harm-based test like Section 18C, which really means that if you're insulted, humiliated, intimidated on the basis of, you know, your sexual orientation, for example, then there ought to be an avenue for you to complain. Yeah. And that would be a dispute resolution
process,
say, with the Commission.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's worked, I mean, that has worked quite well at the federal level, but of course it's not without controversy, as
of
you
course.
Said.
So, Catherine, what are you working towards? Are you working towards legislation?
That's right. So this inquiry is really about how can we strengthen the existing laws and extend them to other groups that need protection. So we're hoping that once this inquiry makes recommendations, that then the government will strengthen the law.
So there's no guarantee that the outcomes of this will end up in law?
No, there's no guarantee, but there's a lot of interest in the inquiry, and they're conducting hearings at the moment, and we think they're going to report around September.
And do you get a sense of the government's interest in this?
I think the government made a submission, and I think they are interested, certainly the consultations that we've had with them, and we've consulted with all different kinds of communities, women, people with disability, the LGBTIQ community, to try and see what people think. We've conducted sort of survey work, we've consulted with government, and there is a lot of interest in how we can better protect people against hate conduct and hate speech.
And I think the, you know, the government obviously, you know, will receive the report and there'll be a consideration. And, you know, then it has to be fitted, has to be drafted if they're going to go ahead. It has to fit into the calendar.
That's
there has to be, you know, so we might be looking at quite a long time for this. I want to ask you, Catherine, the environment that we operate in now, and, you know, and you've been, you know, in your role for some time, do you think people are becoming less civil, that they're more prepared, you know, to attack? Are there sections of society that seem to, I don't know.
You want a bit of you want a bit of profiling, do you, Macca?
No, I just get the feeling that it's not, in my opinion, it's not becoming more acceptable. It's becoming more prevalent. The sort of hate speech that we're seeing, the marginalising of different groups in society. Or am I just imagining that, or am I reading the wrong news? I don't read the Herald Sun, so it's not there. Am I reading the wrong news reports?
I think when you look at the research, there's a cohort of people that do seem to be moving to the far right, and are potentially being more vocal and more violent in relation to their views on other minority groups. But they appear through the research to be certainly the minority.
Yeah. You fit most of them in a lot of them in a minibus.
They're far-right extremist groups.
Can I just go back a little bit? I mean, how effective are things like hate laws? I mean, is there evidence that they will get used or can get used? I mean, what have we learned from other jurisdictions and other places?
Well, first of all, we need to get the law right and the regulation right, the right penalties, the right tests, so that those barriers are removed. But then there's a whole really education and awareness raising campaign that these laws exist, what complaint avenues are available to people, trying to reduce the barriers for people to make complaints. I guess the other thing too is at the Commission we feel that this shouldn't always be driven by individuals making complaints. There has to be proper investigative powers for regulatory bodies to deal with it, whether that's online hate or whether that's bodies like ours. So one of our recommendations is that we have stronger powers. For example, if there's an unknown respondent, that we can compel information to find that respondent, that people are able to come to us through anonymous complaints through a representative body to make it easier for them, and that we can conduct systemic investigations as well. So I think it's a balance between individuals having access but also regulatory bodies being able to enforce the law.
So what's the time frame, Catherine? Have you finished your submission?
Yeah, so we've
And is there an opportunity for our listeners to participate in any way in this?
Well, you know, can they see the submission?
Is of course, yeah. Okay. So our submission, all of our submissions to law reform initiatives are on our website, and we're going to be in March part of the public consultations that the committee is conducting. But you can certainly have a look at our submission, and we've got a really easy, just quick summary of it as well, which I think always helps because it's a 100-page submission. It's a pretty technical area, but there's also a three-pager that makes it pretty straightforward.
A three-pager.
That's right. Yeah. And then and we'll be giving evidence before the parliamentary inquiry. I'm pretty sure that the other submissions that have been made to the parliamentary inquiry are also available for people to look at.
Great.
So
just jump straight onto your website, the Victorian Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commission website.
Right. Exactly.
Catherine, thank you very much
for
your time this morning.
Again,
always good to see you in the studio.
Yeah, great to be here.
Very proud of the work that you and your organisation are doing, especially as it relates to our community in particular.
Oh, thanks, Taz. Thanks, Macca. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Saturday Magazine is proudly sponsored by Velocity Rewards, the loyalty program of Virgin Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.